Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I sit down with game presentation intern for the Tampa Bay Rays, Haley Phillips. On the episode, Haley and I talk about her unconventional path that's gotten her to where she is now, how she kept the belief during hard times, and why sometimes you just have to take the risk. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. Haley freaking Phillips is on the show. We are live. Talk to me. How are we feeling?
We're feeling good. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited. It's my first podcast, so I'm happy to be doing it with you, Ben. It's been a while since we've chatted, so this is going to be fun, I think.
It has. No, it definitely will be. And before we started recording, I was like, man, we got to press that record button because we were having an awesome conversation before this all even started. So didn't want to gyp the people out there, you know, our loyal listeners, whether you're watching or listening across the seas, land and sea, I appreciate you all. So we got a lot to talk about, which I think, like you said, is going to be awesome because when, you know, I originally reached out to you, what you said was you had this unconventional path. Right. And that's, you know, something that we're going to dive into a lot. But before we get there, can you catch us up, because you've been doing a lot, what you're doing currently on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So currently I am the game presentation intern for the Tampa Bay Rays. It has been an absolute crazy ride, an absolute blast. I've been working so much. As you can imagine, the MLB schedule is insane, like 82 home games. So every other week, 6 games in a row, sometimes more. I just got off of a 7-game homestand. So I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things in the office, make sure everything's ready for the next homestand at the moment. And that's pretty much it. Just working my life away, having a great time, learning a lot, and just kind of, you know, seeing what this could lead to down the road. And hopefully it's with the Rays, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
The beautiful mystery of life. It's anxiety-inducing, but also exciting in the best ways possible.
Absolutely.
So now let's dive a little bit into this unconventional path of yours. Now, can you kind of shine some light on that? What do you mean by this? Talk to us about what you were planning on doing, you know, out of college, coming out. Where did this unconventional path of yours start, I guess, is the place that we should start.
Yeah, so I would say in high school, thinking about school and what I would want to study and stuff like that, I wasn't really sure. I was super unknown. I remember there was a time my junior year of high school where I was like, I'm gonna be a physical therapist. And then I was like, you know what, maybe not. Maybe I'll just stick around in the sports world and see what, you know, it has to offer. So my junior year, I committed to play volleyball at Lynn, and I started doing some research into their majors and their programs and all that fun stuff. And I really liked the idea of the sports management program. So I went, I studied, and I still had no idea what I wanted to do with it. And then the summer after my sophomore year, I landed an incredible internship with the Savannah Bananas. My only goal there was to honestly have fun and gain some experience in the sports industry. So I was the director of funds intern, and I did all of the crazy stuff that you see now on TikTok. What it was in 2018, I was doing it. So I was dancing on dugouts. I was teaching dances for players and all that stuff. And it was an absolute blast. And my boss at the time said that I really fit in well with what I was doing. He said that I had the personality for it. So I kind of just went with it and I ran with it. I worked there the next summer as well. And I just did mostly game day stuff. I did a little bit on field, production wise, and then I also just like sold beer on random game days. You know, it was just whatever they wanted me to do that day, I was there for it. I just wanted to be a part of the team and wanted to have that on my resume, so I did that. And then I went back to school, and at this point it's my senior year and COVID hit, so sports weren't necessarily a thing when I graduated. So I moved out to Austin, Texas for a year. Figured I'd stay somewhat in the sports realm. It's not really, but I was a waitress. I was a bay host at Topgolf for a year, had my fun, and decided, you know, it's time to move back somewhere where sports, you know, sports are becoming a thing now. Like, they're coming back, you know, there's going to be more fan engagement now since, you know, everything's lifted from COVID. So I moved back to Delray Beach, Boynton Beach area at that point, and I Boynton Beach. Hey.
Another one. Just shout outs left and right coming through here.
Yeah. I moved back there hoping to at least put myself in a better position to be able to work again within the sports world. Nothing was really available at that time. They were obviously looking for people who were a little bit more experienced than I was. Again, I only had that one internship. So I started working for a physical therapy clinic. I was, you know, still trying to get my name out there, sending resumes to random teams all over that coast, up and down Miami to West Palm. Like, I was just sending my stuff, and I was still wasn't really getting any catches or anything like that. So after a year of living there, I moved over to the Tampa area, and I just got a part-time job just to be able to pay rent and, you know, have fun. You know, I didn't want something super serious. So again, I was just a waitress. You make good money as a waitress, but obviously not what I wanted to do. But again, going through that whole process again of like sending out resumes and just random emails and connecting with people on LinkedIn and just like trying to get my foot in the door somewhere. And I was scrolling on Teamwork Online one day and I found the internship position for the Rays. And I kind of thought to myself, well, Haley, you're 24, almost 25. Like, do you really want to be an intern again? Like, you were an intern in college. Like, that's typically a college thing. And I was like, you know, this is the department that I want to work in. I need to get more experience under my belt. I need to just kind of bite the bullet on this one and go for it. So I applied, went through a few interviews. I didn't hear anything for like a month, so I didn't think I was gonna get it.
So we're checking the pulse.
Yeah, we were checking the pulse daily.
Yeah.
We were refreshing the email like 5 or 6 times a day, like, come on, come on. Finally something came through. I got a call from my now boss, and she said, you know, we really like what you have to offer. We wanna, you know, do a Zoom interview with you and then our VP of fan engagement and just the whole department, really. And so I did that, and obviously things went really well. Nice. Because now I'm working there.
Good.
But that's kind of where I've been. I just kept moving from city to city to, I was dropping everything that I knew to start something new, which was exciting, but also absolutely terrifying because, you know, you're leaving your family. Like, I don't live near my family anymore. Thankfully they moved to Florida since then. They live over in Daytona now, which is awesome. But, you know, you're leaving everything that you knew behind and starting fresh. And I think my move here was the first time that I really had a sense of like, you were doing this for you and for nobody else. And you're not taking anybody with you. And you're just like doing this because this is what you want to do. And I, it's been awesome, you know, living alone and, you know, going through this crazy thing called life. And so, having a lot of fun, and now I'm hopefully getting hired at the end of this. If not, that's okay. But at least now I have something to put on my resume to show I have some experience, and we'll see what happens.
All right, thanks for coming on. No, I'm just kidding. You touched on a whole plethora of things, and I loved everything that you said. And just to clarify, was your position with the director of fun, FUN?
FUN, director of fun is okay. The guy that I worked under. Yeah.
Okay. That just what I thought. I know, I'm sure I wasn't alone there. I didn't know if it was fun or I thought it was funds at first. And then you described it. I said, that doesn't sound like a financial role to me, but again, no. I'm not in the industry. Things could be different, you know, but no, that's, you know, really awesome. And, one of the things that you mentioned towards the end there was kind of just being able to do this for you finally. And can you kind of walk me through like what that has meant to you, you know, more recently, and being able to do that? Cause I think that's a big thing, you know, coming out of college, getting into your first job, your second job, where you're beginning to be like, oh dang, like you're saying, like, I get to live my own life. I like, this is like you create your own adventure and you're living it. And so what, you know, what does that meant to you to be able to create your own adventure?
It's meant a whole bunch to me. I think for me, this is the part of my life that I'm the proudest of so far. You know, you grow up living with your parents, and then if you're fortunate enough, your parents help you out with school, and then you have somewhere to go afterwards and all this stuff. Well, I have the type of family that will drop everything and help me if I need it. But this is something that I wanted to do for myself, to say, I did this from the ground up. and I did this on my own and I made it happen because I wanted it to happen. And it's just been so like, now I know that I can do it. It's not that I wanted to necessarily prove it to anybody else but myself. Like, I was so willing to just drop what my life was before to create this new one for myself. And it has been so great. Coming to my little apartment in St. Pete and just like sitting on the couch eating my cereal or like whatever, and just getting to do that, honestly, is proof enough to me that I can really just like do it. And I'm so proud of myself that that I did. So
you just sit there and you said, I built this with my two hands by myself.
Yeah, this whole part of it.
No,
but it's fun. Like leaving work after a homestand and coming home and just like sitting here and like thinking about like what I had done this whole past week and everything like that, and just reflecting on like what I learned, what I could have done better, you know, how did I handle this situation? How should I handle it next time? And just like realizing that this is even the life that I live and the opportunity that I have and that I did this on my own is just so special to me. I never wanted to end. So
no, that's beautiful. It truly is. And did you think, you're talking about, you didn't want to, it's not necessarily about proving to anybody else that you can do it. It's about proving it to yourself. So was there a period of time, or is that a thought that ever crossed your mind? Was like, hey, maybe this, I can't do this. Was there any doubt in your mind?
Definitely. It's super discouraging sending out a million resumes and never even getting in the thank you for reaching out email. Like, at least just say, thank you for reaching out. You know, we appreciate it, but we're actually not hiring right now. And I think once you send out enough of those, it's like, maybe I can't do this. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe this isn't the industry I want to be in. Do I need to rethink everything? Am I doing something wrong? Is pretty much what goes through my head a lot. Like, well, what was going through my head a lot at that time? And there were definitely a lot of low moments where, you know, you think you're perfect for this certain position that you're applying for and you hear nothing back. And then the post is just gone, you know? So it's like, well, who are they hiring? If you think you're perfect for it and you feel so strongly about it and then you hear nothing back, it's like really discouraging. So I think for a while, you know, I just had odd jobs here and there to, you know, pay the rent, you know, live life, but it wasn't really fulfilling me. So once you send out so many things, you just get very down in the dumps about where you're at. And I think I definitely had a few of those moments. But obviously, you just have to push through them, keep sending them. It will work out. Maybe not the way you perfectly imagined it. Like, I didn't want to be a 25-year-old intern, but here I am, a 25-year-old intern. But I just kind of trusted the process and, you know, kept telling myself that it was going to work out. And thankfully, I had my parents who would always tell me, you know, you keep putting out good vibes into the world, they'll come back. Like, keep trying. Like, you'll be okay. Like, I promise things are going to work out. And I think just having like that support system also helped a lot because, again, I wasn't living with them or anywhere near them. Like, yes, they're a phone call away, but, you know, we were 6 hours apart from each other and I didn't know anybody in the city that I had just moved to. So it was like just this weird moment in my life where I, for the first time, felt one, lonely, but also proud of myself for doing it, but also discouraged because I'm not hearing anything back. So it was definitely weird and it definitely had some lows, but if you just keep pushing on and you keep trying, like, you can't give up if you're passionate about it. So
and
that's
if you think back to like those moments, and I think that you mentioned how important it is to have that support system and stuff, but, you know, even with the encouragement, you know, the go get them, you know, keep doing it. It's really important, but it only goes so far. So if you can think back to those moments where it's like, oh dang, like, am I really about to send out another resume? What helped you send it out? What helped you keep going outside of that support system, which is still incredibly important to have?
I think just believing in yourself and realizing that things are going to work out the way that they're supposed to work out for you. Everybody's path is different. Obviously. everybody's path is completely different. You know, you just have to believe in yourself and follow what you're truly passionate about, because I'll tell you what, I am not a desk job girly. That is not my thing. I cannot sit there and look at Excel spreadsheets for hours on end. Kudos to those who can. But me personally, I knew that if I wanted to work in the sports industry, it needed to be something where I was working on game days. It needed to be active. It needed to be something entertaining, because that is what I think is one of the more important things when it comes to baseball these days. Is, you know, people think baseball is boring, and I love baseball itself. Like, I could go and sit at a game and watch the entire thing. Right. Shout out baseball. I could go and sit in an entire game and watch the whole thing and have no complaints. A lot of people don't feel that way. So I think working with the Bananas, that kind of just like pushed me into the position that I'm in now. And like being passionate about this is because I love baseball. I knew I wanted to work in the MLB. I knew I wanted to do something in the baseball realm. Hopefully, you know, it was always the position that I'm in now. But I think just continuing to be passionate and really pushing yourself to not quit when things get hard. I know it's really difficult and you just want to like crawl up in bed and eat a pint of ice cream and watch The Notebook or something. But like, if you just keep going, just push send, write one more lovely little bit on your cover letter. It takes 5 minutes and then send it off. You're going to feel better about doing it after the fact than if you hadn't. So my thing was always, if I really didn't want to do it, if I was tired, it was something that I didn't want necessarily even want to apply for, but I knew it was going to help me in the long run. Write out the little cover letter. Awesome. And I would think to myself, like, you're going to feel so good after you send this. You're going to feel like you did something and you're like pushing yourself and you're like trying to achieve what you really want at the end of the day. So just continuing to push yourself and believe in yourself, I think, is more important than anybody else believing in you. Because if you don't believe in yourself, like, what do you really have to offer? Mm-hmm. So I think it was just continuing to, you know, make myself believe that I was worth it and that things were going to work out and that somebody needed me on their team. I think my trick was honestly to believe that I was perfect and that they needed me.
Huh. No, that's true. Like, it's such a big mindset thing. And like, to what you mentioned too, is like, just that importance, especially at this time in life, of shifting. And I literally just thought about this as you were talking, of, you know, going back to like the creating your own adventure and how cool that is, instead of like, oh man, like, I gotta send this out, or I gotta apply a job. Like, you really are in a position, you know, coming out of school, whatever it is that you're doing, that you can go in any direction that you want. And like, that's a super overwhelming thing, but a super exciting thing too, because you can really like mold things into, you know, whatever it is you want to do. So I mean, that's, man, you're getting me juiced. I don't know, like, I'm just gonna go start applying for things just to apply, you know, like, I'm fired up right now. So this is incredible.
Well, hopefully
so,
somebody else will feel that way then.
Good. I'm telling you, there's no way they're not. And I don't want to put you on blast right now. You said you're not a desk job girly. Are you sitting on the ground?
I am sitting on the ground.
Right. You got practice what you preach, right? Much respect to you. You said,
I don't even
desk.
Own a desk.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. I might move this operation to the ground too, man. So yeah, for those of you listening in, this is a ground operation now. So can you go back into talking a little bit about that process? Because again, the job, and then we're going to touch a little bit more on, you know, the stuff that you do day to day and get into more this director of fun action that you got going on. but talking about the sending out, you know, the application after application after application, you know, what was your process? What was your game plan going into this to kind of create? Was there any system that you created to kind of be efficient in the work?
Absolutely. So I created, obviously, my resume was up to date, perfectly, awesome, cool. Gave myself a little template. I wrote out my own little template cover letter, saved it on my laptop. Perfect. So
you're
easy.
Perfect, right? You're the perfect candidate for everything, right? Got it.
Perfect Nailed candidate it. For everything. You have to believe it.
Yeah.
So what I actually did also was I created an Excel spreadsheet when I just said I'm not into Excel, but right. This is for organizational purposes. I'm not building graphs out here. But I created an Excel spreadsheet that said, like, it had the date, it had the title of the position, when I applied, if I heard anything back yet, and what that date would have been, and then also when to send a follow-up email. And I followed that pretty strategically. Followed it, whatever. I followed it and That's pretty much all I did. I mean, I went into every day thinking, today you're going to apply to 5 jobs. Today you're going to email 5 teams. Today you're going to do whatever you need to do to get your life in check and try and get this job. So what I did when I got here to the Tampa area was I looked up all of the every single baseball team or baseball organization of the sorts in this area. And I just started emailing. I made a list of every team, just literally everything, anything, literally, double A, you know, whatever it was. I made the list and I just started emailing people. I would check Teamwork Online like 2 times a day, honestly, like once when I woke up, once in the afternoon.
So, some people check their DMs, not you. You're checking not Teamwork me. Online.
Not the DMs, only no. Teamwork Online.
No, or the inbox. We check no DMs, just email inbox and Teamwork Online. That's it.
That's it. No, but I would, I did that, honestly, every day. I mean, some days it was harder to send out more than the rest. You know, if I was off from work one day, I'd send out more. If I was working a double, I would send out maybe 1 or 2. But at least I made sure that I did one thing one day, like every day. So I think that was my process. Just constantly checking, constantly sending out emails, going back to the Excel spreadsheet. Have I followed up with this person today? Maybe I'll email somebody within this department instead. You know, everything. Just trying to get my foot in the door somewhere, even if it wasn't necessarily a position I wanted again, but I was just trying. So
what were some of the resources that you used besides like Teamwork Online, but to get these people's emails? Like, was it just going on their website? Like, how'd you go about getting in contact with these people? LinkedIn? You slide in any DMs?
I did not slide in any DMs.
Not you can't overlook it. You can't overlook it, you know?
I would go onto the company website or like the team or the franchise, whatever it was. I would go onto their website and I would look for some sort of roster of the front office. And I would email the director of whatever department I was looking into. And then also whoever worked the front desk, because you know for a fact, I worked the front desk. That was one of my jobs along the path. I was a admin. So I know you look at the emails. So I would send it to both the head of the department and I would CC the admin or the HR person. Just really dependent on how crazy I was feeling that day.
Right.
Maybe all of them.
Right.
And I would just send out a generic email saying, you know, my name is Haley Phillips. I'm a 2020 grad from Lynn University Sports Management Program. Really looking to get my foot in the door. I was wondering if you had any positions available at this moment. Here's my resume and a cover letter to kind of get to know me a little bit better and what I have to offer. And please let me know if you have any positions. And that's literally all I did. I mean, it's not all I did. Right. It's a lot. Right. When you like, you're just putting yourself out there so fully. And I know being vulnerable like that is super scary. Especially when you studied sports management and then you got a serving job and then you were an admin and then you got another serving job and then you also worked the front desk for like a little soul cycle. It's like you're sending out this resume, but it doesn't fully depict who you are, like, and what you're passionate about. So it's very vulnerable and very scary to like send that out there and say, hey, I think I'm good enough for this position, but my work does not necessarily show that. But yeah, I would just go through the website, send an email to those people. If they didn't have like a roster, I would just look, look for a general like inbox, like, you know, at that bottom of the pages is like, if you have questions, submit it here, whatever. I would literally put it in there. I would say, I am looking for employment. What you got? I would just send it along. I think just continuing to put myself out there and try and connect on through the website, direct emails. I didn't use LinkedIn as much because there's a part of me that think I love LinkedIn. It's great to connect with people that you already know. And when you're trying to build a network and you're trying to get in somewhere, when you have a great opportunity, like I do, like I'm now connected on LinkedIn with a bunch of people that I work with currently within the Rays, which is awesome because now I have all of these people to show, like, these are my coworkers. You can ask any of them, you know, but I think for me, it was harder to want to reach out to specific people on LinkedIn because it did almost feel even more vulnerable Now, I don't discourage it. I definitely think it's a good idea. I think just for me and where I was at in that moment, sending an email to somebody directly instead of searching them up on LinkedIn and then adding them as a friend and then waiting for them to connect back and then sending a message, like, it just didn't feel right. I wanted it to be very like, this is me. This is where I'm at. How do we feel about this? Give me a job.
Like, right. Yeah.
I just felt like that direct approach was a little bit more my speed than going and connecting with them on LinkedIn when I don't know them. Like, if I don't know you, I've never met you, you're some complete random person to me. Like, I don't want to connect with you on LinkedIn, you know? I mean, I know that's what it's for. That's just not really my speed. I would rather send them a direct email because I know that they'll pay more attention to an email than they will some LinkedIn message. I get tons of LinkedIn messages and they're all like, oh, you want to get your master's? Come to this random school, or, you know, all these things. And it's like, I don't even check them anymore. So knowing that I don't check them is like, what makes me think that the head of fan engagement for the Tampa Bay Lightning is going to look at my message? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they probably get a million a day.
Yeah. And it's important to know yourself and what works for you. And that's ultimately, you know, what it sounds like you're getting at too, is not mm-hmm. saying the LinkedIn route is a bad route. It's not, but
definitely not.
If it works for you, go get them. If the email works for you, and that's important, because that's what's ultimately going to make you effective in things that you do, is finding that process, finding the plan that, you know, gets you the most bang for your buck. And so that's important. It sounds like, you know, it was a meaningful discovery for you. Now, you talked about going, you know, you have this resume, and I believe your resume looks like this, very similar to a hand, which is fascinating to me. So yeah, you have this resume here, right? And you have serving,
like my left palm.
Always your left palm. Sorry. You have you're serving your fan engagement. You have all these sorts of things, cycle bar, you know, all sorts of different things, soul cycle. Sorry if I got that wrong, but right. You're bouncing all around the place and bouncing and bouncing, if you will, all around the place. Bouncing and bouncing all around the place. And you have this resume, because I think this is a very, very real thing of like, no, I've got experience. I can do your job and I can do it really well. This doesn't necessarily show it, but like, I know I can. What have you gotten out of the bouncing and flouncing that you've done, that you've been able to see like, okay, all this bouncing and flouncing has led me to this good place where I've gotten really good experience from, you know, serving that I may be using in my job today with the raise?
Mm-hmm. I definitely am very happy now that I was a server, because what I do is on game days, I interact with fans more than anybody else. I am walking around in the stands. I'm finding contestants for games. I'm, you know, speaking directly with color guard, and I have to have this professional but yet fun, because we're having fun. This is a fun thing. we're having fun. I have to keep this certain demeanor about myself. I can't let anything get to me. Like, you know, when you're serving, people can be rude. People are whatever. The amount of times that I've been screamed at by fans from the opposing team and I've had to keep my cool is unreal. So thank you, serving, for teaching me how to be a respectful human to terrible people. That's definitely one thing. When I was an admin, it was a desk job. It was computer-based. It was dealing with insurance, which was random. That has nothing to do with what I do now. But being able to, again, speak with people directly and respectfully, and just gauging and learning so many different personalities. Like, I think I've talked to enough people now that I understand how to react or speak with somebody based on what their personality is showing in that moment. I, you know, I did get some basic computer skills and like office experience when I was with the other, you know, admin job. And that was very useful, because they do work in the office. I mean, I work in the front office. My job is like 50-50, office 50% of the time, game 50% of the time. So I definitely have office experience. I'm much better at Excel now than I was. Not that I use Excel every day, but, you know, I'm better at Excel. I'm better at sending professional sounding emails. Like, I just know how to, you know, talk to people, and
right.
Yeah, I just have a better understanding of how to speak with people in a professional manner than I did definitely in college. Because, I mean, in college, I didn't have a job. I mean, I was just going to school. That was my primary focus, getting that degree. So when I got out of school and I just went straight into serving, you have to know how to, I mean, I feel like I'm a people's person. You know, I can talk to anybody. I'll talk to anybody. But just knowing how to, like, deal with people who aren't necessarily, like, the nicest to you or people who have a different opinion of you, like, than you do, I think those are all definitely things that I learned from my other jobs. And I think I've worked in a few different, you know, serving, admin, two completely different things, but I've definitely taken things from both of those jobs and can apply them to where I'm at now.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful thing. I think that's such an important thing to hold when you're in that position of saying, like, hey, like, I know I can do this. And so when you do get that opportunity, you can bring that other experience into what you're doing now. So it's like, I told you I could do it. You know, you gave me the chance.
I told you.
Thank you.
I told you.
Exactly. So now looking at, you know, the work that you're doing today, I imagine in your role, like you're saying, you're half office, you're half kind of, you know, depends on whether they're on the road or at home, all these sorts of things. But I imagine that your interaction goes far beyond your department only. And so can you kind of shine some light on what that looks like in terms of your work, the other people that you work with in the organization, just in terms of, like, because I think a lot of times when you look at a role, I could be like, okay, if I'm in fan entertainment, or I'm in social media, I'm in marketing, I'm in finance, I'm only in that department. But that's not always the case. That's rarely the case, actually. So what does that look like for you in terms of the interminglings of the different departments?
I work a lot with corporate partnerships and activation and stuff like that. We have a few segments that we run, the Dippin' Dots Raise Shuffle. That's one thing. That's a corporate partnership. The Crown Fan Cam, Crown Automotive, that's another one. Usually they bring in, corporate brings in probably a first pitch, 5 of the 6 games of a homestand. So we work directly with them, just like making sure it fits into our schedule, making sure we don't already have things in our script for that day that'll clash, or, you know, if they promise one thing. So, like, I don't know if corporate promises a first pitch on this day, but we actually ourselves also already scheduled a first pitch for another day. Like, we got to figure that out. I mean, I work a lot with corporate in that sense. And just kind of, you know, you have to run a certain amount of each segment to fulfill, you know, whatever agreement our corporate people had, you know, put into effect with that company. So fitting that into the script and making sure that we run it as many times as we need to so that they don't come back and yell at us and stuff like that. That's definitely one department I work a lot with. Also the fan, like the fan engagement, fan experience department. I work a lot with them, obviously, because we are all under the same umbrella of, you know, FanX. But we're all technically in the same department, the same mushroom department, but we are our own separate things. So they work a lot day to day with, like, also with corporate, like table setup and stuff like that. I have nothing to do with that, but we all work under the same belt, and we're just trying to give people a really great show and give them the best experience that they can at Tropicana, which has been an absolute blast, working with all the different departments and just learning a little bit here and there as far as that goes. We also work with the foundation a little bit, just as far as presentation goes. We do special presentations on the field pregame, like in pregame ceremonies sometimes. And then also in game, they have like a whole half inning, which sounds like it's a lot. It's not, it's like 2 minutes, but like they have their moment. And they're on the main board and they get presented a check, and like, it's really great. But I would say those are the three departments that I definitely work the most with. I don't do much in terms of, you know, helping them schedule a thing or, like, you know, talk to their partners or, you know, decide who they're going to give this big check to from the fund. Like, that's not what I do, but what I do help with is giving them their moment to shine and have everybody kind of see what they offer for the people of Tampa Bay. So that's super fun. But that's pretty much all my involvement with them. I mean, I don't work in corporate, so I don't know much about like what these deals entail, but yeah, just making sure that scheduling wise, first pitches don't clash, like everybody's getting what they want while also putting on a good show. It can be stressful sometimes, but it's fun.
No, it's got a lot to balance, got a lot of cool things. Speaking of cool things, I want to really give you a challenge right here. What has been the coolest thing? I need you, like, that you've gotten just like just your own jollies off of, like, man, this is so cool, like where you thought that you didn't, maybe not something that would be first thing to come to mind, but that you, Haley Phillips, was like, oh my god, this is the coolest thing.
I think opening day, obviously, it was my first opening day. It was, I don't know why I thought this was so fun, because I had a whole spring. So for the first time, the Rays had spring training in the Trop. We usually go down to Port Charlotte, but because of that last hurricane that had come through, the one last year, knocked out the whole stadium. It was not ready to be played on. You couldn't go in it, whatever. So we hosted spring training. So I had a whole spring training, like a whole month, to like really get down, you know, picking contestants and like making shots happen and, you know, making sure everything looked good. But I, on opening day, was in charge of, I believe it was the seventh inning stretch. I think that was opening day. Again, opening weekend, crazy. So I think it was definitely opening weekend, but I'm pretty sure it was opening day. I was in charge of the stretch, and there was already a group picked for it. That's not the point, but when you like execute something, so I just remember it being absolutely hectic. Like, my sheet of things to do for that day was like forever long. I was in charge of the big flag that day, the big flag out in center field. The first time I had ever done that. That was awesome. That was so cool. I worked with Duke Energy. They did it so perfectly. The flag was perfectly centered. I was just like, wow, this is awesome. It looked really good. Everybody seemed to love it. But during the seventh inning stretch, I believe opening day, I put my host, Nate, in the middle of this crowd of people. And the shot was just so funny. I could hear people cackling from like three sections over. I had it like, he was right in the middle of this big group of people. And I had the cameraman zoom in on his face and then like zoom out to the whole crowd. And he just looked absolutely miserable. And it was so funny. Everybody was cackling. And then the whole sold out stadium just started singing the seventh inning stretch. And I was like, I freaking did that. I made all these people laugh. This is awesome. And it's the seventh inning stretch. Nobody cares about the seventh inning stretch. In my opinion, it's one of those things that you just have to do.
Yeah.
You just got to do it. And I just remember thinking, like, it's opening day and I'm here right now and the Rays are winning and we are having a blast. And I just made all of this happen. And this is my last thing. And it was perfect.
That's when we file away. That I don't want to, you know, your career is far from over, and so I don't want to jump the gun here, but I think that memory may make its way up to Cooperstown. That's a Hall of Fame memory right there. So you still got a lot, you know, so I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but that was, I mean, that's quite the memory right there. But that's incredible. I love that. So as we, I mean, we could go on for hours and hours and hours, and I truly do believe that. But as we are wrapping things up, I'm coming in with fresh eyes and fresh minds. Like, you didn't tell me already what you're cashing out is, because I don't know. It could change. You could call an audible on me. But it is that time of the show where we are wrapping things up. It's time for us to cash out, where you leave us with your most valuable piece of advice, biggest lesson learned. Give us a little extra money for the road. So what do you have for us today?
I'm going to say, don't be afraid to take the risk. Whoa! I know. It's like I didn't tell you before we started recording.
We'll talk about it.
I risked and gave up entire lives to chase my dream, and I don't regret it for a moment. Definitely had its ups and downs in its path. Definitely was very down on myself at a certain point where, you know, you're not getting you don't have the experience that you want. You don't think you're going to make it, but I just kind of decided, like, Haley, you got to do this for you. just do it, send it, move to Tampa, see what happens. Because what do you have to lose at that point? You know, if you're chasing after something that you are truly passionate about, and like, I'm a big believer in, like, if you do what you love, it never feels like work, you know, and it truly doesn't feel like work. It just feels like fun. Every day that I go into the office, it's an absolute blast. And if I didn't risk it, and if I didn't move here, like, I moved to this area with no job, didn't know a single person, had never even visited Tampa. Like, I just said, we're doing it. Let's go. And I risked it. I risked it big. But it truly has been the most awesome experience being here, meeting the people that I have in and out of work, and just working with the Rays and gaining this experience in the game presentation department has been an absolute blast. So don't be afraid to take the risk.
You heard it here first, folks.
It might turn into the best thing ever.
Don't be afraid to take the risk. My goodness, Haley, thank you so much for coming on. This was refreshing. This was invigorating. This was exhilarating. I can't thank you enough. This is a blast. I know you're going to keep crushing it out there. So thanks again.
Thank you, Ben. It's been so fun.